Hi, and welcome to The Spoil Voters, a podcast based around the 2020 general election and the fallout after as we prepare for life under the 33rd Dáil.
They're not interested in that. They want to actually put forward an alternative future for the country.
Yeah, and on Simon Harris, I don't think he's going to be kept on his health. Whether or not Fine Gael as the party will keep it, I don't know.
I think because it's a time of crisis, yeah. It's even more important that they don't go into government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Hello and welcome to the Spoil Voter podcast with me, Tig McNally. This week, as ever, I'm joined by my two faithful guests, Shane Brennan and Callum Atkinson, the two usual panellists. And this week we're here to discuss the usual government information talks. But we're going to look at it in a slightly different way this week, and we're going to look at how the Greens have sort of shaped the news this past week with sort of the support that has come out for Catherine Martin, the deputy leader of the Greens, for her to take over as leader from Eamon Ryan. Now, just to sort of catch anybody up who doesn't really know, the Greens constitution mandates them to have a leadership election 6 months after any general election. And now we're about 3 months after the last one on February 8th. So what it's going to look like, we're going to come up to this in the next 3 months. The process will wind down by then. And Eamon Ryan will contest it. And it's also looking likely that Catherine Martin will probably contest it as well, who is currently the party's deputy leader. And this is kind of throwing a bit of a spanner in the works for government formation, because it's sort of more uncertain now as who's going to be leading. If the Green Party were to go into government, who will lead them in that government? Will it be still Eamon Ryan, or will it be now Catherine Martin? And Shane, I wanted to ask you, what do you think that sort of this is going to look like now? Like, how is this being perceived by people?
We've spoken many times on this podcast about the sort of youth divide within the Green Party. And we've articulated many times that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil seem like they're sort of, you know, the sort of death knell to a party, just sort of to go in as junior partners to what many young people believe, FFG being like almost the one collective entity, and the Greens would be a junior partner in them, they don't want to get decimated. But what really surprised me this week is the fact that this isn't normal times. The Greens have a mandate to get into government, to push whatever they have. Plus, you know, out of the three leaders, the Greens have their best result ever. Whereas Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have, you know, I don't know if amongst their worst results ever. And which one's leadership is in trouble? It's the Greens. And if you ever want evidence that Irish politics is somehow driven by a sort of an underbed of hatred for other parties, you can look on the last week. We're going to touch on the sort of spats, the childish spats between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in a second. But the youth uprising, I mean, I was scrolling on Twitter a couple of days ago when the nominations opened for leadership, and I swear to God, I don't think I've seen anybody nominate Eamon Ryan. Is coming out in droves to nominate Catherine Martin, because she's seen as the one who, you know, she seems to be more against going into talks in the first place. And there's an undercurrent there that the Greens would rather, even though their main message is we have to act about climate change now, but they seem to explain, and Councillor Dan Woolley was on explaining his view on this as well, that going in with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, is worse than being in government to enact any sort of a green agenda and to fight climate change, and then rather wait 5 years to deal with something we have to deal with now than to try and change Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to move their policy towards a more green way of doing things. And the fact that Eamon Ryan has throughout the whole campaign said that he's open to talking to everybody and is one of the only party leaders who from the start wasn't playing on the politics of we're not talking to them, we don't want to be in government, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you look at all the parties. Fianna Fáil didn't want to talk to Sinn Féin or Fine Gael. Fine Gael didn't want to talk to Sinn Féin. Labour didn't want to talk to Sinn Féin at one point. The Social Democrats seemed to be quite happy throughout the election to sit back and to say, we want the left-wing government, but not now, maybe in 5 years' time. whereas the Greens were the only ones that, you know...
Sinn Féin as well.
They wanted to talk to everybody. Yeah. So Sinn Féin, you know, said, you know, obviously their preference was to not have Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil in government, but they wanted to talk to everybody. So that's a fair point, Callum. And Eamon Ryan being the only other one anyway of the main party leaders who sort of wasn't playing on the hatred or railing. It's to try and, you know, get something done to fix the problems. And during this time of crisis and everything else, when we're reaching another $30 billion in budget deficit and all the other legislative points need to be put forward, it's still amazing that the hatred that people have, or the distrust anyway, maybe hatred is a little bit strong word, but the distrust people have of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Green Party is stopping them from being able to put their vision forward, because they'd rather go on their own political gain and try to, you know, be more legitimate to the left instead of actually doing something. They'd rather wait 5 years so they can be in bed with somebody else as they do something instead of doing something but now.
I see that you disagree, so I'm going to let you go back on him.
Do you say wait 5 years? They need, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael need the Greens. If the Greens say no, then there's a chance for an alternative government to be formed. I fully respect the Green members who don't just want to get into power, but they actually have a vision and principles for what they want the future to look like. They're not interested in some sort of, you know, some vague assurances from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on a couple of policy areas. They're not interested in that. They want to actually put forward an alternative future for the country, which I think it should be admired. And like you say, obviously Eamon Ryan has done a good job in, you know, rehabilitating the party from the depths of where they were. But I do think it will be interesting. Like, the Green Party, they'll make up their mind in the next couple of months, because if Eamon Ryan loses a leadership contest, it's basically saying they don't want to go into government. And obviously they'll have to vote in the deal anyway. So those two are basically the same. Because if Eamon Ryan loses, say they put the programme for government to the party and it's rejected, that's basically a loss for Eamon Ryan, and I find it hard to know where he goes from there. So I think the people who are arguing the alternative are to be applauded. It'd be very easy for them to just fall in line. But it may well be the case that a majority of Green members want to go into government, and that'll be interesting to see. But we won't have to wait long to find that out.
I think the question here is, in particular, because we are facing such a huge health crisis, and also then on another side of it, we have a huge economic crisis coming. And these are two things that are going to impact the next government majorly. It's going to be the biggest thing on the agenda for the next couple of years. Like, I mean, this isn't going to be something that is dealt with easily. But currently we are in a crisis, and I need to think, I think that there needs to be discussions within the party whether or not it is worthwhile for them to go into government, just for going into government's sake. But we also have the issue of the health crisis. And we can't pass legislation at the moment because there's no Taoiseach to appoint the Shannon nominees. So is it the case that they should just go in for maybe, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 2 years to sort of bring things back to stability and then another election once things are back to normal?
Bring things back to stability by passing what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will want to do, which I know they've said they're not going back to austerity, but you can already feel it in the last few days. Varadkar in the Dáil yesterday talking about how you can't keep borrowing forever, and on the radio talking about how people are benefiting from the COVID payment. They're earning more now than they were before, basically planting the seed that, you know, we're wasting money basically now. we're spending a lot of money and that'll have to be paid back. Do the Green Party want to go in with other parties that will, one way or another, introduce, it mightn't be income tax. They've said they're not going to increase income tax, but most of the poorest people don't pay income tax anyway. So one way or another, it will be a return to austerity. Do the Green Party want to facilitate that? So yeah, I think because it's a time of crisis, yeah, it's even more important that they don't go into government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
It's even more important they don't go into Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael because they don't want to lose their seats, not because they want to do what's best for the country.
Well, I think there's a question here now of if the Greens were to drop out of government formation talks, would that just lead, or not drop out, but if the programme for government fails and doesn't pass through the Greens, but it passes through Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who takes over? Do we fire into another election, or will what? I have a theory, a hypothesis here that potentially the people who could step up here, I suppose, is Labour. I mean, Alan Kelly he loves to tell everybody how they're the party that would step up to this kind of thing. And while he has ruled himself out at the moment, but that's just, I think, out of interest in letting the Greens do the bit of talking and let them have their moment to work things out. And if that doesn't work, maybe they'll step up. I want to get like your thoughts on that. Like, where will Labour step in if the Greens drop out?
I'm sure they would if it means that it wouldn't go to another election, because I think if election is called and there are people who were sort of in place to not let it happen, especially if we're still under social distancing guidelines and all the rest, they might be interested in, maybe not for 5 years, just sort of, like you say, sort of guiding it through the emergency process to make sure we don't have any sort of legislative backlog, or that the sort of gears of government aren't grind to a halt, because we've had 100 days without, we're just in under a caretaker government, and and we can't let it, and in the current situation, I think there is almost a general consensus that it can't go on for too long. Granted, there are concerns and sort of all parties as to what a government would look like, where they to be involved and how much their say would be had, whether that's Labour, Sock Dems, Greens, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, whatever. So I don't know, maybe they will. I hope we don't get to that point where one of the three parties currently in talks break down for whatever reason, because it's not just the Greens that have a bit of a split. We know there is an undercurrent in Fine Gael who don't want it to go ahead. I was supporting the Irish Examiner yesterday because they don't want to see more electoral damage. And Fianna Fáil's poll numbers have tanked, so I don't know whether they want to be linked with, like, the likes of O'Queeve wants to be linked with Sinn Féin instead, or just want to be pulled out. So, like, any multitude of things could happen to make sure we don't get a government, which is, astounding, really. Whether Labour would step up, I think they'd be more likely than the Sock Dems to step up or to go into government anyway, just based on the rhetoric around the party. Would that be electorally advantageous to them? Probably not. Will that government last 5 years? And even would a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil or Green government last 5 years? Probably not, for various reasons. But I think there is a general consensus that if everything sort of falls down and at the time when we need legislation, that we end up going to election instead. Because let's remember, the Common Supply Agreement was built, the rhetoric around that was built sort of saying that we need to be ready for emergency legislation in the case of Brexit. Now we have COVID-19, which is worse than Brexit, and we need a legislative body to pass things at least for the next 12 months. Until we have more clarity as to what's going on. So all parties have a reason not to let it happen if we're going only on what's electorally advantageous to them. So I'd be interested to see whether, anybody would stick to the electorally advantageous side over the, legislative body side.
I'll let you, if you want to add anything there, Colin.
Not really. No, just I don't see Labour or the Sock Dems I think if they were truly interested, they would have shown more to this thus far. And I don't think they're really interested in going into government, especially with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
And in fairness, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, as I mentioned last week, don't seem to be interested in having Labour to sock Dems either. You know, their policy of not talking to people has sort of extended to them over the last few weeks as well. So unless that changes drastically, I don't see why Labour or the Sock Dems would be interested.
Just another thing about, you know, the Greens. I was watching RTE last night and Lahan was talking about all of... He was just saying how things, discussions had gone quite well between Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. So we'd just add that as well. Maybe the talks, I know there's been a few, you know, dramas, especially with the Green leader, as we talked about, and then the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael fight over preparing for an election. But there is, the sounds coming out from the negotiations at least are that it's going, you know, quite well.
Yeah, it seems like that something is, it will come up with something workable, and that a programme for government will be delivered at some stage, whether or not that's next week or the week after, we don't really know. But I think just to go back to the Greens for a minute, do we think that this sort of switch could impact, or how do you think that to phrase it better, how do you think that this sort of being brought up now has impacted negotiations? Do you think it's the leadership, the bid for leadership, will change negotiations at all?
It's weird because, like, I think what Shane was saying about Green Party activists or whatever all nominating Catherine Martin. I saw that as well. But then she released a statement saying that full focus was on the negotiations. And, you know, the leadership, whatever election, is a matter for the future. So I thought that was a bit strange. Like, surely, like, when I started seeing all the, you know, messages coming out, I was like, oh, it's a coordinated thing, like, from her campaign or whatever. But she seemed to pull back from it a bit and wait, and will be waiting for future months. So it's a weird situation, but I don't think it's impacting the talks at the moment very much. But obviously, if she was to become the leader, it would be, in my opinion anyway, it'd be a signal that the party doesn't want to go into coalition. So maybe in a couple of months that'll be massive. But at the moment, I don't think it's really changed the talks that much.
Realistically, yeah. I can't see the election happening, the leadership election happening before they have the vote for going into coalition. So realistically, it'll be Ryan will be in until they have a vote a vote on the programme for government. And what happens after that, if it fails, you can more or less give it to Catherine Martin at that stage, I think.
In fairness to Catherine Martin, she has been quite focused on the talks. She hasn't played up, and nobody of the elected TDs in the Green Party has sort of played up to the divisions that may be more evident in the grassroots social media. So in fairness, you know, there is a sort of deadline, not a written in stone, but it is a sort of a deadline floating around that these talks had to be done by this day next week. If a programme of government was announced around the time of, you know, in a week and a half's time, you're right, Tyke, the vote for programme of government would come before a leadership election. And I think what would make sense for Catherine Martin, certainly, is to let that happen first. Because if there's at least a month or 2 month period in between the vote for programme for government and the vote for a new leader, if the programme for government goes through by a two-thirds majority, well, then she's not going to, you know, accept the nomination and just leave it at that. You know what I mean? And then that sort of calms things down. But obviously, if it doesn't, then that's her moment to accept the nomination. The Green Party obviously would have rejected the programme for government and therefore rejected a sort of de facto Eamon Ryan. Even if it is a sort of 60-40 split, even I know they need two-thirds, but if it is a sort of 60-40 split in favour of the government, it'd be interesting to see whether a contest would take place. And I imagine it would. So I think Martin herself has been playing this quite well. She is focused on the government talks, and that is her job, especially for the next week or so, when we're in the height of it now. So I don't think it's impacted the talks that much. What might sort of get into the head of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, though, is, you know, how much, if you listen to sort of the more conservative minds and to sort of people who might have voted for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil beforehand, the likes of people who, whoever Ivan Yates has been talking to down in Leopardstown Racecourse, all that, those kind of people, there is sort of, you know, what do you have to promise the Greens to let them go in? And we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Simon Coveney, you know, that's coming out in an interview saying that he's not going to let them decimate rural Ireland and all that kind of rhetoric. But what the split has always sort of, within the Green Party, has always sort of posed the question for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, is the fact that you will sort of need to, on the face of things at least, promise a fair bit to the Greens so they could get the two-thirds majority so that they could go into government with them. Because like you say, Ty, Fine Gael need the Greens, so they're going to have to promise them a fair bit to get in. And then obviously, it's up to the Greens then whether they would stick with that for the 5 years or whether they pull out after 2 years, depending on how much those promises are kept to.
Yeah. One thing I think would be interesting to sort of see, sort of building off what you said, Shane, is that Catherine Martin is the chief negotiator for the Green Party. I would think it would be very interesting to see a programme for government come back that she has negotiated with her party colleagues, and if whether or not she can stand over that programme for government as the chief negotiator. She is someone, she, as is recorded on record, that she was one of the people who voted against going into talks, and she is now the chief negotiator. I don't know how she can sort of manoeuvre away in like what we have said here to be the anti-coal going into government candidate for the Green Party leadership, if she is the person who delivers this. And especially if she stands over it, because I think that is going to be a very interesting sort of wee split here. And whether or not we have maybe a third candidate coming in for the Green Party leadership, whether or not they could take everyone with surprise and maybe beat Catherine Martin to the leadership. I don't know. I mean, it's just something to sort of think about over the next couple of months.
It's an interesting point about, you know, how can you be the chief negotiator on one hand and then
oppose, you know, coalition.
Yeah, so yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. Yeah.
Nessa Harrigan might be able to shout there then.
The thing about Nessa Harrigan is that she's a first time TD, and I don't know how she could lead the party into, you know, into the future when she's had such little experience as a TD. I think the party would want to see either Eamon Ryan or Catherine Martin, because they have the experience being sitting TDs since 2016. Again, I could be surprised at that. I could be completely wrong. But we'll just have to wait and see, because we've, again, 3 months until the leadership election will probably end up being done. But I mean, we'll have developments going on until then, whether or not Catherine Martin actually wants to stand for the leadership or not. We'll just have to see. But she's definitely got the nominations already from what we've seen on Twitter and everything that's going on at the moment. So she's definitely the favourite there if the coalition programme for government is rejected. So actually, I think we're going to have to move on here a little bit. And we've kind of touched on it a little bit there in that previous segment. But I want to look at sort of the governments. If this government were to come into office and effect in the next maybe month and a half, how stable would it be? Because, you know, it's these two traditional parties who have been traditionally at each other's throats, not really best mates. Leo and Micheál aren't exactly best buds, and they could potentially be sharing the office at Taoiseach and Tánaiste. So I'd like to get your thoughts on sort of how long do we think that this government, if it were to come into effect, how long can it last? Is it something that will last the full 5 years, or will it be more likely to see it sort of fizzle out after two and a half?
Well, I suppose it's very hard to predict, but when the last, you know, confidence and supply government, it was predicted that, or every couple of months, it seemed to be the end for it, but it actually went on for quite a while. So I do think, obviously, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have their, you know, obviously we've seen, as I mentioned it earlier, the sort of row about, you know, preparing for an election and all this, which shows there is and a lot of the talk about that was, you know, it shows there's a degree of distrust still there. So I think personally, there's distrust among, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, even though they're not that a million miles away from, or a mile away from each other on policy. So there'd be personal conflicts, which I suppose are probably easier to overcome than anything, you know, more political. And then obviously you'd have the third element, which are the Greens. And I suppose they're going to get assurances on, you know, reducing, you know, carbon emissions and all. So I suppose if they weren't being met, then that might be another thing that could bring down a government. But I don't know. It's always hard, very hard to predict how long governments will last.
What I'm just wondering is it going to be a sort of a scandal 2 months in? They're going to go, we're done. See you at the election. Or we have sort of like a 1994 job where we see maybe it's if Fianna Fáil and the Greens pull out, maybe they ship up with Sinn Féin for a program for government and they finish off the last couple of years, sort of like the Rainbow Coalition that we saw up until 1997. I'd be curious to see if we have a situation like that, because I feel like that's something that could definitely happen. Especially considering the distrust that we have between the two big parties, well, the two medium parties.
The old guard, I guess, is the best way to put it. The Civil War faction, it's you know, we go from talking about the inner Green Civil War to the battle between the old Civil War parties, mm-hmm. and really there's almost less difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael than there is in the two Green factions. But, I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, As we mentioned before, I watch a lot of, you know, American politics and British politics, you know, flash the American crest here. And it always strikes me how, you know, two parties who, you know, have sort of have genuine different policy beliefs have dictated a policy of hatred, which has, you know, damaged that country. Now we have Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, who, even though their policies haven't been that different, the distrust and hatred over the years has been sort of battling over tribe A versus tribe B, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been battling up, and now they've been forced to work together. And it's not going to go perfectly. It never was. The sort of crack in the system where Thomas Byrne was saying that the preparations for election at the public servants working in the Department for Housing around the two were sickening, I think is the quote that he used. You know, out of all the things you could pick out that were sickening, it's surprising that that was the one he picked out.
It wouldn't be the one. So, it wouldn't be what I would use anyway.
No, it really wouldn't. And the differences between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are more personal than policy, as you've rightly said, Colin. You wonder whether, you know, how much they can put that aside, if, especially when we're expecting things like the Department of Finance being split between finance and public expenditure, and all the other things, the cabinet's going to have to be split 6-6-3, and Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar are going to have to work together. Who's going to get Taoiseach with Tánaiste? And how those relationships are going to work? Is there a basis of trust there? Because both parties, for the longest time, Fianna Fáil, especially in the last election, have practiced the politics of, we're not, you know, we don't like you, so we're better. And, you know, Fine Gael are like, oh, you bankrupted the country, and Fianna Fáil, you're causing the housing crisis. When it's all these personal attacks and these personal spats happening now with the Thomas Byrne incident over the weekend. So can they put that aside and work together in their, you know, similar enough policies? We'll have to see, but like you said, we were saying the same thing with the Commons Supply Agreement, and that lasted longer than we expected. So maybe this is just, you know, small rumblings within younger members of the party.
Yeah, it's interesting. I forgot I forgot to mention, like, if there is an agreement around like a rotating tee shot, that how would that affect like the length of the government? Like, say, I don't know, Micheál Martin gets the first 18 months or whatever, and then Fianna Fáil pull the government down before Varadkar can get it. Like, how if it, there ends up being a rotating Taoiseach, what you know, assurances can be made that, you know, each will get their turn? Like, it's just another layer of complexity.
It surely can't be a sort of, right, I get 6 months, you get 6 months, you get 6 months then, and
you get 6 months.
It can't work like that.
I personally don't think a rotating Taoiseach is realistic, especially because you're waiting on the Greens to promise that they'll stay in for the whole shebang and let you do your rotations. And I don't think that's feasible. I think it's, you know, there's Taoiseach, there's Taoiseach with Taoiseach 1 and 2, then you've Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure 1 and 2. Obviously, whoever gets 1 in Taoiseach and Taoiseach will get number 2 in Public Expenditure and Finance. And we sort of have to try and do a balancing act over that way. I mean, that's the only way I can see that working. And just,
but I mean, you say that, but they've agreed that there has to be an equal partnership. So I don't see what is the solution, because I don't, the office of Taoiseach and Taoiseach, they're not the same thing. No matter what way they look at it, the Taoiseach is obviously the higher office than the Taoiseach. Like, I mean, the Taoiseach is just a bit of the Taoiseach's office. So,
and the Taoiseach usually gets thrown in with something else. Like, the current Taoiseach is the Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it will end up working as well without there being a rotating Taoiseach there. Because they have this similar, really, really similar amount of seats. There's a difference of 2 seats in it, like, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like,
it not being rotating.
All the talks at the moment are probably around policy. If that was to get passed, will then there be, you know, massive melodrama about who's getting what portfolios and all this? Like, could that scupper any type of agreement even after, like, the policy areas are agreed? Like,
I think it might be interesting to look at this sort of quickly, but is there any kind of idea of who's going to get which cabinet positions, like fantasy cabinet sort of thing?
It's funny, fantasy
cabinet among Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Yeah,
Christ.
RTE did this. I was only listening to it about an hour ago. They're saying that you know, the negotiating teams are sort of the base for each one. So you can imagine Pascal, Coveney, and who else is on the Fine Gael team? I reckon Fianna Fáil are definitely going to struggle to keep some sort of gender quota, because there aren't that many leading female people in the party. Fianna Fáil. Fine Gael will probably have about 3 and 3. You can imagine Humphreys will probably stick in business. You can imagine that transport and environment will be chucked over to the Greens. You'll imagine...
Although there's that sort of, I will say about the transport and environment thing, that there's rumblings now about whether or not that portfolio should be split, whether or not they should make a separate transport portfolio or lump it in with the housing portfolio.
Well, transport is currently lumped in with sports and tourism.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with the idea that they should lump transport and housing together. I would definitely be of the agreement that those two should be.
They're both massive areas, though, to be fair.
I think it makes more sense than keeping it with sports and tourism.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think these are two, or if they're separate, they should be sort of very closely linked, and we should have the public servants should be doing a lot more talking to each other. Because, I mean, what's the point of building houses if there's no decent, like, sort of transport or, like, public transport or roads, like, nearby? You need to have the good provision of services.
It's interesting, like, that's such a strange thing, but, like, you know, before this massive pandemic, I'd say it was a certainty that Harris was going to be moved out of health, but now after this, is he seen to, well, I think he is seen to have handled it well, so might that change things?
And then
obviously Murphy and housing will have to be, surely will be gone from there.
Well, if Murphy's kept in housing, you might as well give up.
I think the housing would probably be sent to the football side.
I can't see Murphy not being a minister. He's very well connected.
But what would he take over, though? That's what I'm wondering.
God, like, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
They'll only have six main ministers, and obviously there's junior ministers. You could pick super juniors as well.
I could see getting a junior ministry or maybe a super junior, but not a ministry.
I don't know. He was Leo's campaign manager for the leadership.
That's true. But I mean, he isn't exactly a very popular public figure at the moment, which is might sway Leo's opinion. You know.
Yeah, and on Simon Harris, I don't think he's going to be kept on his health. Whether or not Fine Gael as the party will keep it, I don't know. I imagine Stephen Donnelly is going to take it up.
Yeah.
Maybe they might have some sort of junior ministry that's sort of in charge of the COVID-19 response and just keep it to that until there is a vaccine or some long-term solution. So maybe Harris will be sort of kept with that brief, but the overall health brief will be passed over to Fianna Fáil, as will the housing brief.
We have other briefs as well to look at, so... Leo Varadkar's current brief, which is defence. He's going to go defence. Will we see Willie O'Dea back in the defence offices? Bringing the gun back into Irish politics.
Well, it all depends on whether they do include some independence, because, I mean, Dennis Nocton could be back in.
Nocton? After his the last fiasco?
But believe it or not, it's that there is a widely held belief that if there is going to be any sort of rural independence in the government, then Nocton is going to get back in the cabinet. You're right. That's crazy, but it's there. It's floating around.
We look at it as well. There's someone I think that could potentially end up with that job if they go into government, which is maybe Cathal Berry, which is, I think he's your constituent.
Cathal Berry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He is very military-based. Certainly, maybe not Minister of Defence, but some sort of junior ministry in charge of the military, if he was involved, that would definitely be his bread and butter, because...
Yeah.
He is a local TD here, and even most of the sort of groundwork campaigning is for the military and military family. So you can imagine that if he's involved, that's what he would take over.
And just another one, I think Charlie Flanagan could be gone from the cabinet. I think it's more of a general like trend. I think. I don't think he's, you know, Fine Gael, and obviously with Varadkar's leadership, they want to be, you know, the modernizers, which they have in fairness to them, you know, with the referendums and all. And I think Flanagan he's seen better days. I think he's seen as quite old fashioned now. So, and obviously the whole direct provision thing, I think, is one of the Green Party's key areas that they want that system ended, so that'll be interesting, I'd say.
Do we think that Helen McEntee and will be kept in some shape or form?
I could see Helen McEntee remaining in cabinet. Especially, I would have thought if Varadkar is made Taoiseach for the first time round, I can imagine him taking on foreign affairs. And maybe McEntee moving into something else, maybe less out of the sort of working on Brexit, maybe moving into a different department.
That's interesting. And I certainly think Heather Humphreys will keep her current brief.
Business is something that definitely, I think she's reasonably performed well in like any of her speeches on recently. I think she's come out looking well compared to other politicians at the moment. So I could see her remaining in place. What other positions do we have? I mean, you mentioned transport, housing.
Education. What's his name? McHugh. Joe McHugh.
Would he be kept on, though?
I personally doubt it. But again, like, as we mentioned before, this is the way Irish politics is done, is you have to make sure there is, you know, a minister from Mayo, there's a minister from Cork, there's a minister from Donegal, there's a minister from the Midlands, there's a minister from Dublin.
Maybe the sort of
geographic spread might suit him to keep him in. As old-fashioned and as that may seem, that's just the way that it might turn out.
Education. And I think Micheál Martin wants to set up another ministry for higher education. I believe that's something that's been touted.
Would that be a junior ministry, or in which case, if it's his idea,
we already have a junior ministry for higher education. That would be what's her name? I can't remember her name at the moment. Her name escapes me.
Mitchell O'Connor.
Mary Mitchell O'Connor. Yes, she's currently the junior minister for higher education. I know she's been sort of pottering about with any of the student leaders at the moment. So like the likes of the USI, or she's had contact with them. So that'd be education. But I mean, I don't particularly know who the Fianna Fáil spokesperson for education is at the moment. Joe McHugh seems like it probably the
as well as that. I believe we're working on the assumption that it's going to be FFFG and the Greens, mm-hmm. If the Greens are going to get, they're expecting that it's going to be 6-6-3 of the main cabinet positions. If the Greens are getting transport, education, or not education, environment, and something else, who's going to take what? You know what I mean?
Well, so you'd probably be safe enough to assume that Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin will get positions anyway. Maybe Nasa Hurrigan as a junior ministry within public expenditure or finance.
Roderick O'Gorman, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You have plenty of first-time Green Party TDs. There's plenty to choose from.
But it's interesting, as Shane mentioned, the whole Fianna Fáil gender thing, because obviously Lisa Chambers was one of their rising stars, and obviously she lost her seat. So, you know, if you think about the Fianna Fáil front bench, it's like Martin, Cleary, Cowan.
Cowan as well.
O'Callaghan. That'll be an interesting thing to track.
There is strong belief that Barry Cowan will be kept in as well. I read a few things. Even though he was originally against going to government in the first place, you bought the call after the election. He was like, "Oh, we don't have a mandate anyway." And you know, he was sort of implicated in that whole spat over the weekend as well, in some shape or form. So we could see a return to Cowan to ministerial offices.
Well, you mentioned the gender quota. I could see the likes of maybe Anne Rabbit being escalated up a bit more, to fill the gender quota. I mean, that's something that could be potentially mooted. You mentioned O'Callaghan. I could see him as being a sort of maybe a gopher for justice to take over from Flanagan.
He had a few things to say after the election, though, didn't he? So I don't know whether he soured his relationship with Martin or not. But
we'll just have to say, I suppose. But again, how long is Martin going to be? Therefore,
that's the thing. If we're having 1994 all over again, and it's some sort of rainbow coalition, or maybe a 50 Shades of Green coalition that's coming up along the way with Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, and the Greens in 3 years' time, I mean, does O'Callaghan want a ministerial position to sit in there and wait for his time to kick Fine Gael out and bring Sinn Féin in? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, you have to imagine that in some people's minds, especially on the O'Queeve side of things, that they are thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, only time will tell. That was a 1994 job. I think would be really interesting, and definitely made for some interesting politics for the next couple of years. But I mean,
in fairness, you just want to be in there so you can write the book.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I want to write the book about it. That's my ultimate goal out of all this, is to get a brilliant book, a bestseller. But anyway, I think we've talked about this for a lot longer than I expected, so I think we're going to wrap it up here now.
We've filled the cabinet. All our predictions will be.
I know. It's taken the government 100 days to do them. We've done it in 10 minutes.
We might have to come back to this and do a more sort of structured one where I give names of spokespeople and stuff like that. We can fill out a proper one.
In fairness, next week we're expecting the program for government. If not, well, then that's the filler for next week's podcast.
unless like Michael D. Higgins is caught talking to another communist newspaper, we'll have to come up with something else.
Communist property owner. There's a new one for you.
Look, I think we'll leave it there then. Thank you very much for listening to the Spoil Voter podcast. I've been Tyke McNally, and thanks again to both Shane Brennan and Callum Atkinson for joining us in this episode, and thank you very much to our producer and tech operator, Jonathan Lynham. I will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.